Christian greetings again to our brothers and sisters here. We are grateful to God for the privilege of being here and happy in the Lord, and I trust your hearts are filled with the same type of joy and peace as we continue on in our worship service, that we would certainly just be resigned to God, whatever he has for us. We're still here on this side of the grave, and loving God with all of our heart, and giving him the praise and the glory for his goodness. We are certainly a blessed people, and we need not dwell on negatives. We need not dwell on some of the burdens that may lay upon us, but we must tell Jesus, like the songwriter says. I must tell Jesus and just take it to him, and he will help us. God has been good, much better than we deserve. And yet there is a concern for the congregation here. I'll just let you know there's a concern. And may we all just give ourselves wholly unto God, and let him use us, and may we just be, here I am, God, and cleanse us from any sin and unrighteousness, any ill feelings, any problems that we have with the brothers or sisters, and unload everything and unto Jesus, and he will give us, if we don't have that joy of the Lord, he will give us that joy, and he will use us as in the way he has planned. He has a purpose and a plan for every one of us, young or old, and we have a responsibility as well. And so may God help us to just say like Isaiah, here I am, Lord. He said, send me, and he meant use me as well. And so Thursday was Ascension Day. And we do well to reflect on those days. I looked on the calendar. The calendars, all the calendars we have, don't even have that on. It used to have Ascension Day, Pentecost. Used to have Palm Sunday and all those. What's happening? Is the devil there to try to make us forget those days? I hope not. I mean, we need to pause and reflect on those days and the scene that, especially in Ascension, it unfolded. You know, this scene unfolded, and in the earthly life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he's up there. He's looking down upon us even right now, I believe. And he's probably even really telling God, you know, Father, give grace to this certain person here, and give grace, extra grace. And he needs extra grace, you know, to really have a joy of the Lord in his heart, and to see the things as he sees them as far as our lives here. May God help us. You know, for 40 days, the Lord Jesus was with the disciples. Periodically, I believe he was teaching them. He taught them. Luke tells us that he really expounded the scriptures before he left. And also, Jesus foretold his departure in John 7:33. That's not necessarily my main text, but I'm going to jump around here a little bit on these verses here, because it meant so much to me to think about Jesus and the disciples, and the way we'll later read Acts 1, but how they were standing there, and Jesus was telling them, giving them some final directions, and all of a sudden, he just eased up. He just eased up. Can you imagine? I just had to close my eyes and try and picture that You know, he overcame the death and hell. He's victorious. He was victorious, and that was the purpose of his coming, to redeem us from Satan and sin and anything else that goes with it. But in John 7:33, he was speaking to Jesus was speaking to the Jews, and they had a problem with him, you know. And but he says that yet a little while I am with you. He was actually talking to them about the bread, his flesh and blood being the bread and the cup in chapter 6 there. And he says, yet a little while I'll be with you. But he says, then I go unto him that sent me. But the Jews didn't believe him on that. He says, ye shall seek me and ye can't find me. Where I am, thither ye cannot come. Well, I trust all of us here have that confidence in our walk of life that we can go where he is. He certainly he shared his love with the disciples in John 14 when he says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. How many troubled hearts do we have here today? I don't know. I can't see your hearts. But I hope they're happy in the Lord. And he says that you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Do we have that confidence this morning? Are our sins all under the blood? Or is there something that's hindering? But God help us to realize that. Thomas also said then, well, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? But he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. And so that's why he said to the Jews, you know, you just can't come to where the way you are. You just can't come to where I am. And also in 13, John 13:33, he says that little children, here he's talking to the apostles there, yet a little while I am with you. He was talking to them before he went on to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, yet a little while I am with you. But he says, and then ye shall seek me, and as I said to the Jews here, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say it to you. But they had more hope than the Jews did in Mark 16. And I ask a question. Do you think the disciples, the apostles, had a problem with Jesus saying that? They wondered. In fact, one of them said, that's a hard saying. How can we do this, you know? Anyhow, I want to turn now to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. It says here, this is concerning the resurrection from the dead. But he had to resurrect before he could ascend onto heaven. This is just another incident of his work here, his coming and then going. And they knew that he was crucified. They knew that he had died. And these women went to the sepulcher, and it says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, They came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. They were very concerned, and they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And the entering into the sepulchre, they saw the young man sitting at the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before them to Galilee, that there shall they see him, as he said it to you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to anyone, for they were afraid. This situation brought fear to their hearts. And they had big plans for Jesus, you know. And now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. See, they just had a problem, really, of believing this. And I trust none of us have a problem knowing that Jesus did ascend to heaven and he will come again. I had the opportunity to share in various places I was Thursday, share with people that today's Ascension Day. Oh, well, they didn't realize that. And I had the opportunity to share with them that he is ascended and he's up there looking down upon us and he will come to receive us. And are we ready? I had that opportunity. And so, where was I at? Verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them, and they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. So they had a problem. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he had risen. Notice that. You know, they had a problem. They had other plans for Jesus, not to be crucified, not to die the death of a criminal. But they had plans, and excuse me. He said, go into all the world. See, their unbelief had interfered with them. And that was the 11 he was talking to. Now, I hope we don't have hardness of heart or hearts that are unbelieving today. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them which believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. But they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I had to think of that this morning when Everett prayed for those that are suffering persecution because of their faith in God. They all these things here that he mentioned, you know, and God is able to take care of those things if they suffer and they abide in him. And you know, we may see some of that too in our lifetime if the Lord tarries. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs. Now I want to turn to Luke also, because, this was a precious time of preparing the apostles for the work that he had called them to him for. And in Luke, we read that in this period of time, Jesus opened the apostles' eyes. And I'm going to read some of that now here in Luke. Luke 24. And I think I'll start at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day in a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, and what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how that the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said, he is alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as they, the women, had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The apostles had a problem to really understand and see through this plan of salvation. They had no idea that even Jesus said, you know, one place, and I'm not exactly sure what the scripture is, but anyhow, that was a hard saying. They couldn't take this, you know. And a lot of his disciples chose not to walk with him anymore. And then Jesus asked Peter, he says, will you also go away? And bless Peter's heart, you know, he says, where would we go? You have words of eternal life, and we believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I suppose that was a blessing to Jesus' heart, even though Peter was Peter, but the Lord was changing Peter. And so, let's see, where was I reading now? In verse 28. And as they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, he sat at meat with them. He took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So then they had other ideas. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Jesus was really opening up the scriptures to them, and their eyes were opened, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. He hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted. They were afraid. And suppose that they saw a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see I have. And and when he had thus spoken, verse 40, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, notice the change. I want you to notice that change that happened after Jesus opened their understanding. Now, how much of this do we understand today? I mean, here I've been preaching for 40-some years, and I'm still learning. I'm still letting those words sink into my heart. I was really blessed in studying about these things, knowing that the apostles had a problem, and a lot of people today have a problem. And one person here a while back, I met and spoke with him, and he says, there's no hope for me. Oh, my heart filled with pity for that man. He's too deep in sin. There's no hope. He doesn't believe that Jesus could help him. And there's many of those in our world today. And we are witnesses of what Christ has said. Let us not be ashamed or afraid to speak with people, even if they ridicule us for being believers in Jesus. We are witnesses. And we must, as disciples of Christ, I'm not just talking about ministers, bishops or deacons or whatever. I'm talking about each individual here. We are to be witnesses. We are in the last days. Let us truly accomplish that which God has brought us into the world. And that's why I say that we read in this time, in these 40 days, Jesus opened the spiritual eyes of the apostles that they might understand the scriptures. And now in his final days on earth, it was just about over, Jesus showed them the complete picture of God's salvation plan. Finally, those chosen men could comprehend and fully understand the life and the cruel death that their beloved master suffered. The dark days of the crucifixion were not for naught, but a precious part of the plan. Oh, we thank God. I mean, it's hard to know that Jesus really suffered for you and me as he did. Why did he have to? There was no other way. There was no other way. We were lost. We were lost. The time had come for the final drama to unfold. Jesus already victorious over sin and death and the grave was now prepared to complete that and gave gifts to men. Jesus arose, he ascended on high, and Paul says in Ephesians 4:8, he says that he ascended on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts to men. Here we are, gifted people. Let us use those gifts for the glory of God, not just in our busyness of life and the things that load us down and the material things. Let us realize that we are involved in another plan. We are witnesses. He said to the disciples in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. May we not slide or be slack in being that witness that we need to be in our world today. Yeah, the victory was complete. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. A very, some of us about know this one by heart, I'm sure. What happened and how it happened. Jesus didn't leave his disciples without direction. Soon after his departure, he sent the Holy Ghost to guide them, to give them power and to comfort the true followers and believers. And we're to do that as well. Yesterday at the benefit auction, that's the greatest thing I appreciate in those, for myself now. I don't need much of all that stuff that they sold there. But I have an opportunity to talk with people and to share with them. And I'm made to think of old Checky Kotz, Jake Kurtz, an old man that used to come. And I was a little boy. Dad would take me along to the community auction. And do come to Checky Kotz. And he'd stand there and he'd talk about the scriptures. He'd talk about this and talk about that. And actually, I remember hearing him say to Dad several times, "Well, I'm here again this morning to see if the people are ready to die." He had that love for people and the love for the Lord Jesus. So, I think we're involved in that too. So, to comfort all true followers. And we can make comfort, we can take much comfort from these final acts and teachings of Jesus. One is found in the final words of Matthew, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end." That is wonderful. Let me read this chapter now in closing, at least the ascension. We'll read up to where Jesus says they need to replace Judas' position. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." Now, I've wondered already in the past, who was this man that Luke was writing to? And Luke spent a lot of times, Luke traveled with Paul quite often, and his mission journeys. But Theophilus, one writer says he was a Roman soldier, Roman centurion or whatever. And he was converted. And he was very interested in the plan of salvation and how Jesus must be the Son of God. And I don't know what all he said. But anyhow, and others say there's really no indication who he was. So we'll let it at that. God knows. But he must have been a believer in Christ, and he wanted to know more about that. And if someone asks us questions, let us be ready to share the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Let us not be ashamed. And I confess that I had that earlier when we moved down here. I just... couldn't hardly bring myself to, but anyhow, maybe I'm getting too bold now. If a person tells me has had three wives and he's got is a real joy to him and stuff like that. And how can I shut up then and say, three wives? I don't understand. Did they all die? No. So divorce. I said, divorce. God hates divorce. Oh, he says, I do too. Well, why can you go? How can you go through here? We need to repent. You know, you can't, things can't be made right. Well, he's satisfied the way he is, you know, so it is. Anyhow, okay. Until the day, in verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. These infallible truths, they prove to us it is true. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. Now he had told them these things, but they couldn't grasp it until the Lord opened up their understanding and their eyes. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and into all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up to the upper room, where abode both Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and Philip, and Thomas, and Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and the Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They took things serious. Oh, they weren't perfect, but they took things serious, and they went on. And so here we are, brothers and sisters, young people. Let's be serious in our service to God, in our commitment. And we have that same Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us in all ways of truth. And claim that promise that Jesus said to the apostles in Matthew, the last couple of verses, Matthew 28. He says, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. And so today, let's rejoice in this great joy, with great joy and promise for the victory that Jesus wrought for you and I so many years ago. A precious victory of hope. A precious victory that is more wondrous than any other one than we can have. And I'm made to think of John, when he says in the end, the last verse in the Bible, in Revelations, even so come, Lord Jesus. Are you ready? Let's all be ready. Let's make us ready and be ready. Set your house in order. What is James, or not James, but Amos says, prepare to meet thy God, young and old. Young and old, let's be ready. And so God has promised to be with us until the end, and therefore we don't have to fear, but we need to just walk in him, and he in us, and not fear the future, because God is in control. Let's kneel for prayer.